Well, good morning. What a great place to be on a Sunday morning as we enter the new year, huh? Two things I wanted to mention before I get into the message. If you don't get a copy of the Chapel Challenge, that's the newsletter for our church, let Dorothy know. Contact the office. It's must reading for us every day. We get it the very first of the month. You'll love it. The writers are good. Challenges are excellent. And then also for our prayer chain, which we depend on. And if you're not getting them, please let us know. We want to include you. And prayer is what sustains us. And we need the prayers of God's people. So with that in mind, I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. My message this morning is addressed to God's people, people that know the Lord. Now, if you don't know the Lord, the message is also for you, but it's particularly directed at those that know the Lord. We as God's people have insight into something that others may not, and one of them is what to do with our time. My message this morning is redeeming the time. You and I have a fixed number of days, hours, minutes, seconds to live. Unlike many, it is different than what we would say of the world, because with time comes a sense of purpose as to what God may be doing. In Ephesians chapter 5, the writer, the Apostle Paul, encourages people to be wise in their ways. He gives all kinds of instructions as to how they should live their life. And then he talks about how they should be wise concerning their days, what to do with their time. At the beginning of the new year, I think it would be good for us to consider the importance of time, how it relates to you and I on a daily basis. What are we doing with our time? How can we more effectively use what time we do have for a greater purpose? How important is time? This morning we want to look at what it is, what is time, and then two realities about time, and then how, as this passage challenges us, how to redeem that time. Can we do that? Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. I like this passage because it instructs God's people in so many ways when it relates to living our life. Ephesians chapter 5, the context actually begins in verse 3 concerning their personal lives, and then down into verse 15 and 16. Look carefully, then, how you walk. That's a euphemism for live your life. Not as unwise, but as wise. Here it is. Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. But as you look at this text, it's not hard to reflect on how evil our time is. As I look past 2015, see all the things that occurred in 2015, it's not a surprise. Record number of mass shootings. War in Syria. The threat of terrorism. Evil is ever present with us, and it's easy for us to focus on the evil. What I'd like us to do is to focus on the time. The time. These are interesting times, are they not? For our young people, the passage that I started out with, it says, for young people to remember their Creator in the times of their youth. Reference to time. There'll come a time where life as we know it slips away. Where did the time go? Two times in Scripture, we're told to redeem the time. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, and Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. which says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, speaking of people outside the faith, people that don't know the Lord. Why? Redeeming the time, he says, Colossians 4:5. Some of us have, in all probability, less time than others. The older I get, the more of a reality that becomes. The Bible uses a couple terms to describe time. One is time chronologically, using minutes, times, hours, weeks, years. But the other use of the word time is the time which speaks of an occasion, an instantaneous moment, an opportunity of sorts. And that's the passage, or that's the use of the term in our passage. He's not saying watch your watch or your phone, since people don't wear watches anymore. What is time? Can I suggest that it's two things? One, it's a divine gift. Anybody that appreciates time knows that it's the gift that it is. Someone said yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why they call it a present. I like that. Time is, among many things, a gift. Each day that we live is a gift. If you're handed a diagnosis and you're given so many days to live, it becomes even more precious. We begin each day and close each day with no promise of another. It's interesting about the world in which the Bible was written. The Hebrew, the almost two-thirds of the entire Bible, speaks of things without reference to time. In fact, in the Hebrew language, there's not even words for time. Like we do. The language speaks of complete or incomplete action as opposed to past, present, and future. Did it happen? Didn't it happen? That's all that they matter. They live in the present. I think it's healthy to live in the present. I often say, wherever you are, be all there. Why? We could have destination disease and think, well, I'll be happy when I get over there, and only to realize that it's elusive, because whenever you get over there, there becomes here. We can live in the past, in the old days. Man, I can remember when. And we can live completely in the past and forget the present. Time is something that is given to us by God, and we have to work hard at appreciating. Ultimately, the number of days are determined by God. Did you know that? In Psalm 90, it's not chapter, it's a psalm. Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days. Why would he have to tell us to do that? On New Year's Eve, people gather around televisions all over the world and they celebrate the coming of the new year. The ball in New York City drops. It's a wonderful time. For some people, the close of 2015 was a welcome closing. Slamming the door. Well, thank God that's over. What is time? It's a divine gift. It's also a daily grant. With the gift of time comes a responsibility, and each day is given to us by God as a grant or a sacred trust. I'm embarrassed to say that a lot of the time that I've spent has been wasted. I spent 24 years of my life without even knowing God, living my own life, thinking that time was never going to end. When God entrusted us with time, it was with purpose. We're stewards, as it were, of every day. James 4:14 says, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life, he says? It is a mist. It's a vapor, literally, that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Doesn't it feel like that? One of the great things I like about Hebrew culture, the Israel culture, is they remember a lot. If you were to visit the Holy Land, you'd come across monument after monument or something represented a significant event that occurred at a place. That's why they raised up stones when they crossed the River Jordan. It's why they put up altars to commemorate a place. When you think of God's working in our life, for us, it occurs within the context of time. Yeah, time and space, but time. Proverbs 27, verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what tomorrow may bring." Isn't that true? If God has entrusted this wonderful resource to us, behooves us to ask the question, well, what are we doing with it? Isn't it funny how you could sit down and watch a whole afternoon of football, get up and say, wow, I am so sore. We didn't even do anything. There are a couple things, two realities about time that I'd like to just put out there. As you sit and reflect about the new year and things like that, anybody that's thinking about it will realize time is swiftly passing. It does move kind of fast. Doesn't it seem to move faster the older you get? You'd think it would move slower. When the kids were little, visit grandma's house, it was, oh my goodness, look how big they're getting. They hadn't seen them for a period of time, so they don't realize all the little nuances of cute little things that they did. They hit the teenage years, and it's like, grandmom, you take them. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5, "Oh Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath." Selah. The psalmist reflects upon his own life and he says, God, help me to appreciate it. Sometimes days and weeks can go by and we're not even conscious how we're flipping through the calendar years. How swiftly time passes. The second reality seems to be hitting me a little bit more these days, is that time will surely end. Daniel and I were sitting by a table last night talking about a book that he was reading, and a guy that's an astrophysicist was describing the world in ways that I can only imagine. How vast it is. Reflecting on its massive, we're just a little tiny thing here on earth. To think that God takes notice of me, my thoughts, my life. Someday our eyes will close for the last time. As the psalmist was reflecting, he's thinking about, help me to appreciate it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "There's an appointed time for every man, woman, and child on this earth. It's appointed unto a man once to die, and after that to face the judgment." The God who created us will one day ask us to give an account. Time is a precious matter. Time is a passing matter. One life will soon be passed, the missionary said. Only what's done for Christ will last. Isn't it interesting that the Bible itself says you brought nothing into this world and it is certain. That's the one time a certainty is mentioned. It is certain that you'll take nothing out. Yesterday I opened my garage door and I looked at all my junk. If you would like any of my junk, please come over. We spend the first 50 years of our life accumulating stuff. And the last 50 trying to get rid of it. How do we redeem the time that we have? If the Bible tells us to redeem it, literally it means to purchase back. It's used in our contemporary language as like redeeming a coupon. It's saving money. It's being, you know, shrewd and good with your cash. But to purchase back time, you think, well, how can you do that? As I was preparing this message, I took my watch out and I started to count 60 seconds. 59. 58, 57, 50, like an egg timer. I thought, this is laborious. This is, come on. And I thought, wow. In the course of a day, how many minutes go by? Hardly realizing it, clicking off the top, the clock. Let me suggest just a couple things. How do I redeem the time that God has given me? How do I take and make wise stewardship of the time that God has given me? I don't know how much time I have left, but I have a feeling that I have less time ahead of me than I have behind me. I have that feeling. And if that were the case, pull out the tape or listen to the MP3 online and you'll discover that the same thing. Here's the first. One, live on purpose. Be intentional, in other words, about your own life. If we're to redeem time, then we have to take our time seriously. If it is a gift, as I am suggesting, and God has granted us that time, then we should live on purpose. Be intentional about what we do. Now, some of that is outside our control. Your boss asks for time, you give it to him. You know, maybe we don't have a whole lot of time, what I call margin, that is between the time that is demanded of me and the time that I have at my disposal, my free time, so to speak. But what am I doing with that? Is it just droning? Is it just wasting time? And I think everybody needs downtime. I honestly believe it, particularly in this area, where people are so driven, students are driven, to the point where some of them don't want to live their lives. That's way too much, in my opinion. Margin, that wonderful period of time between all the demands of my time and really what I know my life, what I know myself needs. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 says, speaking of the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, or a lot of it anyway, he says, I press forward, or towards the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If he had a focus, that was it. The Lord. To make the Lord part of our everyday life is, I think, an incredible challenge. Paul vividly explains that he left the past in the past, and he pressed forward. I call it falling forward. Now, our past can haunt us and prevent us from appreciating the present and hardly getting to the future. We have to stop that. Focusing on our failures, the failures of our past, are not productive. The only thing that we can get from our past is an example of what we should not do in the future. If it's crippling, forget it. You can't change the past. But it does set the backdrop for our future. Pressing forward. Falling forward. Forward progress requires a focus and a faith. Do you have it? Sometimes the only thing that can keep us going is a focus on the right things. Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." Pilate asked, "What is truth?" Good question. In our day, truth is not truth to you. Truth is truth all the time. Truth is not what people say it is. Truth is truth. To focus. He said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before." What's ahead of you? Can you imagine trying to drive your car backwards? And the only thing that you had is your rearview mirror. What a limited perspective. It doesn't give you the wide angle. After a while, because a car wasn't intended to drive that way, you're going to hit something. Just a little deviation and boom, you're spinning around. When it comes to spiritual growth, growth in the Christian life, it's not for a time in your Christian life. It's for your whole Christian life. Sometimes I hear young people say, "Well, you know what? I just want to live a little. Then I'll settle down. I'll serve the Lord later on." You know what? Later on doesn't come. It's not for a while, but for the whole. The Apostle Peter said, "But now in grace, you're to grow. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ." Why would he say that? Could it be that there's a tendency not to grow, to be stagnant, to not move ahead, not to make progress, not to fall forward? Truth is, we have more to learn, a lifetime of learning. One of the interesting things about the Word of God, that it is deep. And it's easy to fall into the idea or the temptation that, well, I read the Bible and I know what it means. You can't possibly know how deep the rabbit hole goes, so to speak. There are things that I've read 100 times that I've never read, like God intended me to read it one particular day and it just leaps off the page. There's a mystery to the Word of God. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. When I think of focus and I think of faith, just yesterday, there was an article in the paper that reads, "Why You Should Have Faith, ... in Faith." In a long study, they looked at people of faith, recognizing that they're being ridiculed and mocked in the press or in the public, in the common culture in which we live. But as they peel back the onion, they realize that people of faith have a quality of life that can hardly be described. Encouraging people to have faith in faith. There's a lot of things we don't know about life, about the future. We're susceptible to all the temptations and all the failures and all the problems everybody else has. But when you add the element of faith, there's a hope that cannot be denied. Settle upon it. I said that we should live on purpose, and I think that's true. If there's a second implication of how to redeem the time, it's to touch a life around you. You know, the Christian life was never meant to be an island. God gave us salvation, but we're not to hide that away like a treasure, and we put it in a room and lock the box and tuck it away under the bed so that nobody sees it. It was meant to rub up against somebody. There are times that each one of us would love to be Isaiah 55 says that, oh, that I could be like a bird that flies away, run away from all our problems and our responsibilities and just be free. I'd like to have a little cabin in like Alaska somewhere. You'd get there a week later, you'd say, boy, it sure is quiet up here. God wanted us to touch one another. Our lives rubbing up against your lives and the lives of others. Do you know that there is a divine purpose to every neighbor that surrounds your house? You know there's a reason why you have the boss and the co-workers that you do? There's a reason we fall into habits of like getting the same groceries at the grocery store, the same guy pumping our gas, thank the Lord, in New Jersey. Pumping our gas, rubbing into each other. To touch a life is an amazing thing. We were meant for community. There's a reason why we come to church and talk with one another. It's the one final social strata that still exists where people can be a family that were never family before, the family of faith. Jesus said, though your mother and father forsake you, I will never forsake you. To touch a life. We should be touching the lives of others every day. Particularly with the gospel, the good news. If you knew someone was sick and by God's grace and providence, you were given the serum, the remedy. Didn't give it out. Didn't thought to yourself, I might need it someday. So you hoard it. What would that say about the kind of person that we are? Taking a genuine interest in and a gracious involvement with the people that God has put us around is what it means to touch a life. For about 13 years, I was a crisis intervention counselor at a 95-bed emergency psychiatric hospital. Now, I was amazed by some of the things that I heard, a lot of the things that I saw. But one of the things that I learned is that people are desperately lonely. And it seemed like nobody would listen to them, even the professionals. If all we could do in touching a life is to listen to somebody, it would be a good thing. I love little kids. I like listening to them because they use little kid language. And they don't hide behind things like adults do. If they're unhappy, they tell you. If they're sick, my tummy hurts. They don't like you, they'll say, I don't like you. I like that. It's bold honesty. But they love to be read to and they love to be listened to. Tell me about, what do you like about that? If you know how to listen, you'll always have an audience. Investing in other people will cost you something, though. It'll cost you money and it'll cost you time. It's inconvenient. To redeem the time, means to buy it up, snatch it up. Men mark time, waste time, and kill time. But only a Christian who walks in wisdom, the wisdom that the word of God gives, can redeem the time. If you're living for the Lord, you're never going in the wrong direction. To wake up every day and say, God, this is your day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and what? Be glad in it. You will stick out like you never thought. Just to have a positive faith attitude will change the dynamics of your workplace. To say that I am here by God's grace and I will stay here until God moves me will change the dynamics of every relationship that you have. So in 2016, if we were to mark it down, put a peg down, to redeem the time, it would cause us to take a serious look at our priorities. When Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He said, you know, you get your thinking straight about him being that priority and everything else will work out. What a challenge. I am not here to say that I have gotten to that place, but I want to. It's to seize the opportunities that God brings to you. It's saying yes to what's in front of you. It's to redeem the time. Jesus said, the night is coming where no man can work. That day may happen in our lifetime. It's a reference to God piercing through the heavens and coming back in glory with the heavenly hosts. And time as we know it will cease to exist. I don't know that we'll remember this time on earth, but I can say that it's a day that's not far ahead. By God's grace, I not only want to go there, but I want to go there together. Here's a Greek statue of a godlike figure named Lysippus, something like that. And underneath the statue, it says, what is your name? And it says, my name is Opportunity. This particular statue depicts a man with wings on his feet, a large lock of hair in the front of his head, and no hair at all in the back I can identify. And it says this underneath, who hath made thee? What is your name? He says, my name is Opportunity. Why do you have wings on your feet? Says that I may fly away swiftly. Why do you have a great forelock or a lock in the front of your head? Says that men may seize me when I come. He says, why are you bald in the back of your head? He says that when I am gone, no one can lay hold of me. How interesting. For the believer, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most use of your time, because the days are evil. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning and thank you for the time you've given us here this morning. Help us to make good use of this time. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Lord, there is a time that we must not put off. It's the day we come to know you. For many of us who know you, Lord, it's the day that we awake from our sleep. It's what you say in Ephesians. Awake, O sleeper. Lord, for all the time that we've wasted, forgive us. We take whatever time we have left on this earth, Lord, and we dedicate it to you. We commit our time to you. Our time is your time. My life is your life. Use it however you see fit. For that one that is here this morning, known only to you, Lord, time is slipping away. Train is pulling out, Lord. The ship is leaving port. We're not on it. You've impressed us through the years, Lord, with the free gift of salvation. We've ignored it. Now is the accepted time. This is the one chance. Lord, give it to that one. May they call upon you in faith, believing that you'll hear them as you said you would. Help them to put the past behind them and, Lord, lay hold of, to seize the opportunity of this moment, to be saved, to be rescued by Almighty God. Grant them salvation, Lord, not because they deserve it, because it's your gift to them. Embrace it as a gift. For all of us, Lord, we have a set number of days. Lord, teach us to number our days. Help us to apply our hearts to wisdom to make best use of our time, however you see fit. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to the church in these troublesome times. We pray it in Jesus' name.